The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. I don't know if you just heard that, but Daniel Jones just got sacked again. Man, New York Giants, that season, this season couldn't end fast enough for them, and it's only week four. Week four just ended, so I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but man, they just get worse every single week. They got their asses smashed on Monday Night Football, 24-3. Seattle's defense just took it to the Giants. I mean, I don't think their offensive line could block me. And that says a lot, because I'm a 5'2", 100-pound white bitch. So, yeah, and I'm not kidding. Daniel Jones was sacked 11 times. Like, there was a point in the game where I was starting to actually kind of feel sorry for him, because I'm like, dude, he is just taking hit after hit after hit. He doesn't even have a chance to even pretend to be a good quarterback. So, yeah, I felt kind of bad for him, but at the same time, that's football, and also it's the Giants, so that shit's funny to me. Also, a hilarious part of the game was the Giants were actually driving, and they're getting ready to score some points. They're in the red zone, and boop, Daniel Jones throws an interception to their rookie, Witherspoon, who runs it back 97 yards for a touchdown. So it was just that kind of a night for the Giants. I mean, it's been that kind of a season for the Giants. I expected them to be bad. I don't know if I expected them to be this bad. Also, the funny thing is, on Monday's show, I was asking, what's a worse offense than the Pittsburgh Steelers? And the Giants were like, hey, Katie, we're still here. We're still here. We're going to let you know that we're just as terrible as the Steelers' offense. Now, I will say, the Giants, at least when Saquon Barkley is healthy, he's a threat. The Pittsburgh Steelers still don't have anybody like that on their offense. So I still contend that the Pittsburgh Steelers have a worse offense than the New York Giants. But whoa. The New York Giants are just a terrible-ass team, and like I said, we're only headed into week five, so it's going to be a really, really long season. I wouldn't be shocked if Daniel Jones gets injured at some point because of all the hits he takes because of that horrible offensive line. But let's talk about some good football. Let's move on to the top 10 NFL power rankings for the week. We do have a new number one because last week's number one really fell off the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, they've really fallen in my top 10 because I mostly only put them at number one last week because they dropped 70 points. But this week's number one is, of course, the San Francisco 49ers. Overall record of 4-0, and they just right now look like the best team in the NFL offensively, defensively. They're just holding it down. They're making some great play calls. They're great in the red zone. You've got Christian McCaffrey, who's just having an amazing season so far. He's got 459 yards on the ground and six touchdowns on the ground. And then through the air, he's got 141 receiving yards and a touchdown. So he's already putting up some MVP type numbers. And then you also have Brock Purdy, who, I mean, he hasn't had a bad game yet. I expect him to have a bad game at some point. He's not going to be perfect because nobody is. Every player, no matter how good you are, has a bad game. So I expect him to have a bad game at some point. But right now, he's locked in. He's got 1,019 yards on the season and five touchdowns, and the most important number of all, zero interceptions. As I said, defensively, they look really good. And they just look like the best team in the league. So they have to be ranked number one, at least so far. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that is now starting to surge, and that would be the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 3-1, and they are looking like we all expected them to look. Josh Allen is back in form. He's got 1,048 yards on the season, nine touchdowns and four interceptions. But they're also relying on their ground attack for once. And their running back, Cook, he's got 296 yards and a touchdown. Then Stephon Diggs, he is putting up big numbers as well, 399 yards and four touchdowns. But their defense is also doing some big things. They've got 16 sacks on the season, eight interceptions, and five forced fumbles. So they are getting it done in many ways, just like the Niners are. And they really haven't looked back since that first loss against the Jets. And since that loss, they've just really locked it in, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And they beat a good team last week too. They didn't just barely get by the Dolphins. Like, they smashed the Dolphins in every way, shape, and form. So they had to move all the way up in the power rankings this week. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Philadelphia Eagles. Overall record of 4-0. And they, even though offensively they're not as explosive as they were last year, defensively they look really good. They have 11 sacks on the season and 9 forced fumbles. But I expect them to get it going offensively at some point. You know, it's just, it takes a while to get going. And I mean, it's not like they're losing. They're 4-0. So still looking good. A.J. Brown has started to turn it on as well. He's got 414 yards and 2 touchdowns on the season, and the Eagles are still undefeated. One of the only 2 undefeated teams in the league, the Niners and the Eagles. That's it right now. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, my Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 3-1, and they got back in on track last week. Defensively is what it's all about with this team. I mean, actually, defensively, offensively, and special teams, they really are looking good in all phases of the game. They are really deep, so it's nice that they're able to overcome some of the injuries that they've already suffered in this season. And one of those injuries was Trayvon Diggs. Well, his replacement, Darren Bland, has taken over, and he's already got 3 interceptions on the season, and one of those he ran back for a touchdown. So he's taken over for Trayvon and fitting the mold. So even though I love me some Trayvon Diggs, at least Bland is stepping up and looking just like Trayvon Diggs. Then on just overall defense, the Cowboys have 14 sacks, 3 touchdowns, 5 forced fumbles, and 7 interceptions. So just overall, the Cowboys defense is just taking care of business. But also another player who's taking care of business would be Dak Prescott. He's not getting a whole lot of love, and he's having a very solid, efficient season, and also he's kept it down on the interceptions. Right now he's got 908 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and an interception on the season. So he's actually having a very solid year. He's really putting it together with this offense, and the Cowboys look really good, and I'm excited about this matchup this week against the San Francisco 49ers. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 3-1. To me, they're a good team. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just that they're not really winning in the explosive offense department. Really, the only really good game that they had offensively was against the Bears, and the Bears are terrible. So overall, offensively, it's not what we're used to, but they're still getting the wins, and they're still looking really good. And defensively, they're actually stepping it up and looking pretty good. They already have 4 forced fumbles on the season defensively. And then, of course, Mahomes, he's once again taking the team on his shoulders. He's got 1,006 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions, and he's making the big plays when necessary, and the Chiefs still looking pretty damn good. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 3-1. Defensively, this team is stacked. They have 15 sacks on the season and 4 interceptions, so defensively taking care of business. And then speaking of another quarterback who is having a very solid season and not getting a whole lot of love would be Lamar Jackson. He is having probably the most efficient season of his entire career. He's got 794 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns and an interception, and then on the ground he's got 220 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. So he's also having a very solid year. It's not as, I guess they're not scoring as many points as we're used to, but I mean, the Ravens, they look really damn good, and if they just keep this up, they're probably going to be one of the silent teams that everybody forgets about, and then they make this crazy run and maybe, who knows, make it to the Super Bowl. Even though we have a long time to get there, but I'm just saying, the Ravens look pretty damn good right now. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, falling all the way from number 1 last week, the Miami Dolphins. They're 3-1 on the season. And like I said, I mostly just put them at number 1 last week because they scored 70 points. You gotta show them some love for that. But when they played the Bills last week, the questions that I've been asking about them are what actually happened in this game. Defensively, they weren't able to stop the Bills at all. Josh Allen really just had his way in every way, shape, and form. Stephon Diggs was just blowing by every cornerback that they had out there. Nobody could stop them. And so those were my questions with the Dolphins. Yes, they could score a lot of points, but are they going to be able to stop some of these really good teams with really good quarterbacks? And the question, they didn't answer that question against the Bills. It didn't look good at all. But I will say, I mean, even though defensively there's tons of questions, still offensively they look good. And even their offensive rookie running back, he still continues to be a playmaker on this team. He's got A-Chain. He's got 309 yards and 6 total touchdowns on the season so far. So he's really becoming a weapon that Tua is turning to at the critical points in the game. And they're also still the top rushing team in the league, the top receiving team in the league. So they look really good offensively, but defensively is where I have the most questions with them. And I really still question whether or not they're going to be able to last like this throughout the entire season, just because last year they started out hot and then just petered out towards the end of the year and looked like shit at the end of the year. So you could start off hot and that may not mean anything once we reach the end of the season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions, overall record of 3-1. Jared Goff, he just looks so good for the Detroit Lions. He's got 1,029 yards on the season, 6 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He just is really the driving force on this offense, which is just crazy because I really never expected this from Jared Goff, and he's really just carrying this team on the offensive side of things. And then turning to the defense, they've got 13 sacks on the season. They are really making life hell for every quarterback that they've faced so far. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 3-1. They are killing it on defense. Offensively, not too bad. You've got Kenny Walker III, their smash mouth running back who's having a great season so far, 283 yards on the ground and 5 touchdowns. But the defense is where it's at. First off, let me talk about Bobby Wagner. Every single year this dude is in the league, he is always at the top of the list for tackles, and he still is at the top of the list for tackles this year. He's got 50 tackles on the season, and I believe that's second in the league. He's always top 5, always. Every single year that Wagner has been in the league, I go and look at the tackles, and not only is he always there, it's a season-long thing. It's not just he's there 1 week and then gone the next. No, he is there all season long as the top leading tackler in the league, and it's crazy that he still is doing that. But then just overall defense, the Seahawks are just a smash-mouth defense. They've got 16 sacks on the season, which is tied for the league lead right now, 4 forced fumbles and 3 interceptions, and so they're just really getting it done. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings for this week, I've got the Los Angeles Rams, overall record of 2-2. They're just up and down, but I still see that they are a solid team, especially on the defensive side of things. Offensively, there's a lot of questions because that offensive line is terrible. But when Matthew Stafford actually is able to find his weapons, he actually has some pretty decent weapons to turn to. He's got 1,229 passing yards in the season, 3 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Now, some of those interceptions are because he is not getting a lot of protection. You don't want to see the 5 interceptions, but still, he's having a really, really solid year. And then, of course, their rookie wide receiver, Puka Nacua, he has really just turned it on this season and has been a huge, huge weapon for them that they've really needed. He's got 39 receptions on the season, which leads the league right now, 501 receiving yards and a touchdown. And it's going to be interesting to see how good this receiving core could actually end up being, because Cooper Kupp is supposed to be making his return any day now. It could be this week. It could be next week. They haven't really announced it, but he was back at practice today. So things could look really good offensively for the Rams here in the coming weeks. But so far, they're actually looking like a pretty solid team, in my opinion. All right, and then the Thursday night football matchup for week five this week is not a good one. It is the Chicago Bears at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Commanders are a 7.5-point favorite, and I mean, Chase Claypool is still not going to be playing for the Bears. He's not even going to be on the sideline. They are telling him to stay at home. There's a good chance he's going to be traded at some point, as he should, because why do you want that dude sitting on your roster who obviously doesn't want to be there and who isn't even there? So just the drama continues in Chicago. Whereas the Commanders, they're an okay team. They play with heart, and I trust them a lot more than I trust the Bears at this current point in time. I mean, at least Washington plays for each other, and they've had their moments where they've looked really good, even though they've also had their moments where they look really bad. But they at least look like a team that plays for each other. Whereas the Bears, I don't know if they're even a team that plays anymore. All right, and moving on to the college football AP Top 10 rankings this week. Number one still remains Georgia. They are 5-0. They did barely get by Auburn last week, 27-20. So things are getting pretty tight for Georgia, especially because Michigan and Texas and, hell, even Ohio State, Penn State. Actually, a lot of these teams in the top 10 are really just gunning for that number one position. So Georgia fucks up here any day, any one of these games here pretty soon. And it's a possibility because they've been pushed to the limit so far. And they're not as explosive as they were these last couple of seasons. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them fuck up here pretty soon. And who knows, maybe it'll be this week against they've got Kentucky, and who's ranked number 20. So they're not a bad team. So who knows? Maybe Kentucky can upset this weekend, but Georgia's still number one. Then at number two, still have Michigan up there. They're 5-0, and they keep rolling. They smashed Nebraska last week 45-7. They will be at Minnesota this week. Number three, still my Texas Longhorns, hook 'em horns, motherfucker. We are 5-0. We are rolling as well. They smashed Kansas last week 40-14. This week is the big week. Texas versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma's ranked number 12, too, so it's not like they're just some chump team. And even if they were a chump team, this is never a chump game. It's usually always a good game. But Texas is looking really solid this year, so I'm expecting us to maintain our position this week. Then at number four, Ohio State. They're 4-0. They just had a bye week, so they didn't have anything going on last week. They play Maryland this weekend. Then at number five, Florida State. They also had a bye, and they play Virginia Tech this week. Number six is Penn State. They're 5-0, and they smashed Northwestern 41-13. They have UMass on Saturday. Then at number seven is Washington. They're 5-0. They just barely got by Arizona, 31-24, and they play number eight Oregon this week. So that's going to be a big matchup. And as I just said, number eight is Oregon, who just beat the crap out of Stanford, 42-6. But they do have a big matchup this week, so one of them has got to lose this week. Then at number nine, we have USC, who just barely hung on against Colorado. I mean, they came right out, and it looked like it was going to be another ass kicking. And all of a sudden, in the second half, Colorado caught their second wind, and they were able to make it a good game. But USC still walked away with the win, 48-41. And they get Arizona this week. And rounding out the AP top 10 is Notre Dame. They are 5-1. They just got by Duke over the weekend, 21-14. And they will be at number 25, Louisville, this weekend. And we do have playoff baseball going on right now, actually, as I'm speaking. And we have two teams who have already moved on to the ALDS. So let's start off with the first matchup that we had, game one yesterday and game two today, Texas Rangers versus the Tampa Bay Rays. Man, the Texas Rangers absolutely dominated the Tampa Bay Rays. Texas won yesterday's game. Game one, 4-0, and they won game two today, 7-1. So Tampa was only able to muster up one run in this entire series, and it was very, very weird to watch because they also, especially yesterday's game, they just were error central. They were making so many uncharacteristic mistakes, And it was just a really bad series for the Tampa Bay Rays and a really good series for the Rangers. Starting pitching looked good. Jordan Montgomery pitched great yesterday. Uvalde pitched great today. So their starting pitchers looked good. Sager had a really solid series as well. And they obviously opened it up today. They scored a whole lot of runs today. Adolis Garcia, he had a home run as well. And the Texas Rangers will now be moving on to the ALDS to face off against the Baltimore Orioles this weekend. Then the second matchup that has already ended is the Minnesota Twins versus the Toronto Blue Jays. The Minnesota Twins were finally able to break their playoff curse. They have not won a playoff series since 2002. Well, they have officially broken that curse. They just took out the Toronto Blue Jays. They won game one last night, 3-1, and then they won today's game 2-0. And they just look really solid, especially starting pitching. That's been their bread and butter all season. Yesterday, Pablo Lopez pitched a gem. Then you had Sonny Gray pitch another gem today. Royce Lewis had two home runs in yesterday's game. And yesterday actually broke their curse of not even winning a playoff game since 2004. And then, of course, now they will be moving on to the ALDS to face off against Carlos Correa's old team, the Houston Astros. Yes, Carlos Correa, who plays now for the Minnesota Twins, is facing off against his old team who he won a World Series with, the Houston Astros. So that's going to be a very interesting series. Then moving on to the NL wildcard matchups, game one last night between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Milwaukee Brewers was really dominated by the Diamondbacks. At first, looked like Milwaukee was going to run away with it, but then Arizona just scored a couple of home runs and never looked back. Corbin Carroll, he just continuing his great rookie season. He went 2-for-3 with a home run and two RBI, and then Christian Walker as well had a great game too. 3-for-4 with two RBI. Right now, game two is on. It's in the bottom of the third inning, and Milwaukee's up 2-0. So kind of mimicking last night's game. We'll see if they move on, if Arizona ends up moving on tonight, or if we have us a game three in that one tomorrow. And then the other matchup is the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Miami Marlins. In game one, the Phillies just dominated the Marlins 4-1. Zach Wheeler pitched a gem. He had one of his greatest outings of the season. He pitched 6.2 innings with only 5 hits, 1 earned run, and had 8 strikeouts. And then Trey Turner, who's been up and down all season, well, he's here for the playoffs, and he actually had a really solid game last night. Went 2-for-3 and 2 stolen bases. And this in game two should be getting started here actually any minute. So we'll see if Philly moves on tonight or if we have us a game three tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you all on Friday.